Years ago in St. Louis, when I was doing my Nighthawk show, I picked up a book called Cards of Your Destiny. I was fascinated by it. The author, Robert Camp, he was my guest. And tonight, he'll be my guest on Coast to Coast AM. We'll be right back. Well, Robert Camp is an author, teacher, master astrologer, among his clients, many of whom are well-known names in Hollywood. He's known for the accuracy and insight of his personal readings. In 1988, Robert discovered an ancient and secret method of determining people's personal destinies. Using this Book of Destiny system, Robert has made very successful predictions about many people in the news. Through his work, Robert hopes to raise the conscious awareness of people throughout the world using the tools of astrology and the science of his cards. His company, Seven Thunders Publishing, provides many product services to help others achieve more personal power and happiness. He's our guest. Hello, Robert. Welcome to Coast to Coast. How are you?
I'm great, George. Good to hear your voice.
Good. Good to talk with you again, too. The card system that you use, Robert, how does it work?
It's very akin to astrology. It's a mathematical system. But instead of every birthday being a sun sign, every birthday is now associated with one of the 52 playing cards. It's a very ancient system that came from Atlantis, is what we, as far as we can tell. There's no really no way of knowing exactly where it came from. But the first book ever published about it 100 years ago said it came from Atlantis. And it just turns out to be really incredibly accurate and fascinating.
That might explain some of their mystical powers behind it, too. Anything from Atlantis would have something special.
Yeah, the cards are connected to our calendar exactly. Like, there's, if you take every card in a deck of cards and add up the number value of the card, it equals 365, which is the
That's
number of days in a year.
Now, these cards that you use, are they, I mean, they're not tarot cards, right? No. They're just normal cards?
Regular playing cards.
Okay, and all right, let's give me an example so we get an understanding of how this works.
Okay, so your birthday I have is June 4th.
Right.
Anyone born on June 4th, which includes, by the way, Angelina Jolie, is what we call a King of Diamonds. And King of Diamonds is the highest card in the suit of finance and business.
Is it?
So anybody who is born a King of Diamonds is a very powerful person. They're a leader. And they basically are the boss wherever they are. Yeah. They
That's
like to be the boss, see. And they're really good at business. They're natural business people. They understand business without even being taught as a child. They just
now, understand generally, it. Then, all King of Diamonds would have similar traits?
Yes, absolutely. And there's more than one birthday that have King of Diamonds. There's several birthdays.
Ah, okay. All right, so the June 4th people aren't exclusive. Obviously, you've got 52 cards, and you've got more dates than that.
Right.
For people to get a better understanding, Robert, of some of the things you've done, let's talk about some of your past predictions, some of which I can attest to, but I'd like you to go through some of them. What have
yeah,
you done?
Sure. I predicted a long time ago that Tom Cruise would have 3 marriages. And after that, he may not get married again. So he's now approaching his 3rd marriage. And I think this marriage will last maybe, at the outside, maybe 3 to 4 years.
And then that's it for him, huh?
And, let's see, but he is very compatible with Katie Holmes. By
sure.
The, you know, he's really compatible. But he doesn't really know himself yet, and he's really not a very marriageable person. He just doesn't know that. Jennifer Aniston's divorced from Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt is a King of Hearts. King of Hearts are known to be men that once they have a child, the wife takes everybody in their life is secondary to the child because the King of Hearts is the card of the father. So I think intuitively Jennifer knew that once she got married, once she had a child with Brad Pitt, and he was very big about it, that she would be no longer be the person in his life that got all of his attention. Basically, what they say about King of Hearts is that once they have a kid, the wife becomes the nanny to the baby. So, and that was in the cards also, their divorce. There's this system has not just cards about people and what they're like, but it also has cards for every month of their life. So you can look ahead or behind or in the present for any person and see, you know, what's going on, what has happened, what's coming up for them.
You saw Martha Stewart having a problem, didn't you?
Oh, it was. There was no doubt about it. Sometimes it's hard to tell, but in her particular case, the loss on her trial was just, the cards were just unequivocal about it, that that was going to happen. And Michael Jackson's win was also in there, and Kobe Bryant's win. These were all, those were actually fairly easy to make. The presidential elections, the last two, were very difficult because in the cards, which I use, there was really no clear winner. It was like a, it was a very tough call.
So when you see that, and I assume you see this way before the event occurs,
correct? Yeah.
Can you cleanly say then, this is going to be a tough election? I don't know what's going to happen. And then obviously it is a tough election. Can you say that months in advance?
It's going to be really, really close. And it's really hard. It's hard to say who's going to win. When President Clinton beat George Bush, it was very easy to see. It was a shoo-in. It was just in the cards. It was obvious that it was going to happen. But that doesn't happen every time.
Does this work with individuals only?
Oh, absolutely.
Or does it also work with events and like countries and things like that?
Well, I use it for work with corporations. I haven't really done much work with countries. We've looked, though. You know, like when September 11th happened, we took a look at the U.S., the cards for the United States, but it didn't really show up the way we expected it to show up, because the U.S. was in what we call a blessed year that year. And, you know, such a tragedy as that, you would expect to see something that indicated the tragedy, but it really didn't show up that way in the cards of the U.S. So I'm not certain about whether we can actually do readings for countries or not.
Now, you say you do it for corporations. Now, obviously, you've got a little client privilege here. You're not going to reveal the names of the companies, but let's just use an industry. Maybe the post office, you know, the U.S. Postal Service or something like that. How would the cards work for a company?
Well, every company has a birthday, just like a person does. But you have to know the birthday of the company in order to do any sort of prediction for that company.
Is that like the incorporation date?
It's the incorporation date in most cases. You know, some companies don't even have incorporations. They just have a day they open their doors. So you have to first narrow down what the birthday of the company is. Now, I deal with clients that have many corporations at one time, and they actually consult with me to determine when to start a new corporation, because they want to start that corporation on a day where it has the best financially good karma.
Theoretically, then, this is interesting. Let's say a guy wants to open up a new business, and he goes to you, and you say, these are the worst dates here to start. If for some reason, Robert, he just did it on those days, the days you predicted would be the worst, what are the odds of that company going belly up?
Well, if you talk to every single day has these certain energies about it. Like, it may not go belly up, but you might have like a constant turnover of the people in the company because of the influences that day, which in turn causes poor financial results. There might be infighting in the company, and you can see all this in the charts of the company before the company is even formed. So, you know, if he went ahead and did a company on one of these days, he's going to get those results out of the company. Now, he might be able to work around it somehow. He might be able to overcome some of the problems. But there are some days that are so bad that I tell my clients that these are just, you just don't want to do this. It's going to be doomed to failure.
Now, are these dates ever changing all the time, or are they pretty constant for years in advance for somebody?
Well, astrologically and with the cards, we can look ahead to any day and know exactly what those influences are going to be at any point in the future. So I could like go ahead and look at the entire year of 2006 or 2007, and with careful analysis, I could make a list of the 10 very best days during the whole year to start a new enterprise. And this would be good for every single person, by the way.
Okay, but you don't.
For anybody to start any kind of business.
You don't necessarily know what's going to happen. You just know the good times and the bad times.
Well, I know that if you start something on that day, for example, that it's going to be it's not going to work, or it's going to really go great. You know, a lot of Hollywood studios consult astrologers to determine what days to release their movies.
I didn't know that.
Yes. As a matter of fact, there's an aspect that's known among astrologers as the Star Wars aspect. And it's the aspect that was in effect the day that the original Star Wars movie was released. And it was a super aspect. And anybody who has that aspect, if you look at these movie release dates and you think, wow, why did they pick that day?
Have there been some movies then where they decided, hey, we're not going to come out right now because the cards say not to?
Well, they're not using the cards usually. Actually, they're using astrology.
Okay, and the person, yes, the individual.
I'm sure there are those considerations. Now, I'm not saying every studio does, but I know that some of them do.
Do you consider yourself more of an astrologer than anything else?
Well, this system that I use, the cards in which I've written books about, it fits right into astrology, and I use them both together. Together, they're like a 1-2 punch. You have both of these, and you have everything you need to look at a person's life or a business's life or to make predictions. And they both complement each other and fill in the blanks that each other might have. The holes that might be in one system are filled in by the other.
Who are some of the people you've taken a glance at for 2006, Robert?
President Bush, first of all.
Here he comes again, huh? All right.
Yeah, I don't know. You must have heard a lot about him today.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's kind of nice to compare other people to what they think. So go ahead.
Okay, so I'm going to go. I've heard a lot from other astrologers myself. My best friend does a lot of study on the Internet about things, and there's a lot of people predicting bad things for President Bush. So I'm just going to go from the card perspective. And he has coming up in his Saturn period, which starts January 31st of this year.
Mm-hmm.
He has a card that's one of the most difficult negative karma cards you can have. I've seen people die under this card.
Oh, my gosh. We don't want that to happen.
I've seen people, and whatever does happen to a person with this particular card, which is a Six of Spades, by the way, and it's a card of an intense karmic payback. Whatever occurs is due to something that this individual has done that was not in alignment with the higher principles for a long period of time, or off in some way. So it's interesting that we have President Bush has got a Six of Spades, which is a card of some intense karmic payback, which could result in almost anything, with Karl Rove's card underneath it. The Six of Hearts. You know who Karl Rove is?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Well, Karl Rove's card, he just happens to show up in that same position, which means that he could be involved in this. So it looks like it could be like a betrayal of some sort.
But from him to Bush or the other way around?
Like maybe, we don't know. I know that Karl Rove, he's a double six. He's a Six of Hearts and a Six of Diamonds. We each have two cards, by the way.
That's an interesting prediction, Robert.
Yeah, and sixes are extremely competitive. If Karl Rove happened to think, for any reason, that Bush had gone after him, he would attack Bush.
You think he'd turn on him?
Well, he would attack anybody who he thought attacked him because he's extremely competitive. This man is a force to be reckoned with.
So,
I'm not exactly sure what form this Six of Spades will take. I mean, like I said, I've actually had a client that died with a Six of Spades in Saturn.
So if you had your druthers and a Six of Spades came up on someone, you'd rather they not have it, I assume.
Well, yeah, and if I was talking to them, I would ask them carefully about what's been going on to see where they might have been out of alignment. I had an airplane accident when I had a Six of Spades. And I had been flying recklessly for 2 years. And when the Six of Spades showed up, it caught up with me.
Now, how does it show up? Does it is this a shuffling of the deck, or how does that work?
No, the cards that are for every month of your life are there by a mathematical formula.
So they're already etched in stone.
They're etched in stone. You can see them as soon as a person is born. You can see every card for their whole life.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're saying that this January 30th period is one of the darkest for the president.
It's going to be a difficult period. I my intuition says that, you know, I don't think he's going to die, but I think there's going to be some kind of major fallout. It's going to happen. I mean,
but it could be anything. Could be what's going on in Iraq. Could be who knows, right?
You could. There is another card here with the Six of Spades. There's a Seven of Diamonds. And so this is a card of financial challenges. So it could be something about money.
Whatever it is, it's big.
It's big. This card doesn't come up very often. And it's what we call one of the scary cards.
And how accurate are we about the date, January 30th? Could it be plus or minus a week, a month?
No, it's the period of 52 days that begins on January 31st. It'll probably happen in the middle of February sometime.
So it's got that range.
Yeah, it's a 52-day period. For example, George, you happen to be in your Saturn period right now. It begins for you every year on December 29th, and it goes till February 20th. And for most people, the Saturn period is the most difficult period of the year. It's just not necessarily anything really bad happens, but it's just the most difficult period of the year for most people.
I don't have a Six of Spades, do I?
No, you do not.
Good.
No, you have...
As if I do, rip it up.
Right, just get rid of it. Let's see. Also, I talked about Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes. He's kind of stalling on the marriage, you know. You might have heard about this recently. Like, they have a engagement with no date.
But yes.
I looked in the cards just to see, and it looks like they're definitely going to get married within the next 12 months. However, she has his cards, both his cards, and her Saturn period coming up this year. And I don't know. I don't think we're going to hear about it, but I feel sorry for her. I think something really difficult is going to happen regarding him. What's the most
riveting individual you've looked at for 2006? Who's not a client, obviously?
Well, I don't know. I think Bush is the most riveting in this regard. The other people I've looked at are you know, just actors and actresses, you know.
Okay. So, have you looked at, like, an Osama bin Laden or Saddam Hussein or anything like that?
No, but I can look at Saddam Hussein. I didn't take a look. I mean,
he's in trial.
Has anybody made a prediction about Hussein this year?
No, not really.
Yeah.
I've had some people. Sylvia Brown predicted that he was alive and he'd be caught. I've had others predict that Osama bin Laden is dead. So who knows what? But I don't have their birth dates at hand. Do you have them? By any chance?
I have Saddam Hussein's birthday.
Yeah, and I'd like to see what the cards say about this guy.
Well, Saddam Hussein is interesting. He is the card he is a Six of Clubs, and Six of Clubs is one of the most successful cards in the deck. But what's interesting is it's often the card of a saintly kind of person.
Well, we know he's not that.
Yeah, but there is, it can go either way, but this card has a tremendous urge for power. And when it goes to the negative, the Six of Clubs, you just can't defeat them. I mean, they can just become really competitive and abusive and all sorts of things, and they feel entitled to fame and to power in their life. So in his heart of hearts, I believe that Saddam really thought he was on a mission. Even though he was abusing all these people, killing people, and doing terrible things, in his own mind, like Adolf Hitler, he thought he was a saint. He was doing something good for his people. That's what he believes. And his belief is off, but that's what he believes.
Well, Robert, the most compelling, I think, is this January 30th through February period. We'll just monitor what happens with the president.
Yes, me and all my astrologer friends are all waiting to see.
Okay. Do they all come up with the same thing?
Well, no, they didn't come up. The cards reveal this kind of unique story. They're just all saying something really bad. But
all
nobody
right.
has said, you know, they said
what it is.
Murder or something like that. You know?
Oh, God. Well, we don't want to talk about that. Robert Camp, our guest, seventhunders.com is his website. Good grief. We'll be back in a moment. And now our next guest, Aaron Donahue. Stand by for him, a natural born psychic, born into a family of psychics. He's next on Coast to Coast AM. Aaron Donahue, natural-born psychic, born into a family of psychics, as I mentioned. Did you know, as a remote viewer, he was trained by Ed Dames, Dr. Doom. Aaron is an expert within the field of non-historical data. To prepare for this, he has spent at least 3 years in total seclusion, remote viewing. As a consequence thereof, he has developed an ability to accurately remote numbers. He remote views numbers, a skill that has allowed him to successfully and consistently win the lottery. His current groundbreaking work is focused upon the study and manipulation of particular numerical trends within specific world markets. Aaron is a certified remote viewing instructor. He recently appeared in television in Japan and on Sci-Fi Channel's Search of series. And Aaron, didn't you also have a small part in Suspect Zero, the one with Sir Ben Kingsley, I think?
Absolutely. In fact, they filmed me there, but the problem was once they found out that I was a Luciferian, that I wasn't someone who, abided by the Christian trend as Hollywood could see it, especially concerning Tom Cruise, this was so offensive to these people, I ended up on the cutting room floor. But that sort of censorship is something that comes with the territory, and of course, it's something I'm proud of.
You know, we've had you on the program before. We have you back because it's our policy not to muffle people. And, you know, we may or may not agree with whatever they say, but, it's our role, I think, to give people perspectives from a lot of different people. You do call yourself a Luciferian. Tell us a little bit about what that is.
Well, thank you. And in fact, I appreciate being here very, very much. And Lucifer itself is actually, that's not the name. It's actually a song. And the way I accessed Lucifer was, in fact, I purchased an old Masonic temple, and I went into seclusion, and I remote viewed into stage 7, which stimulates the auditory centers of the brain. I remote viewed the 72 goetic demons or spirits. And when I did this, I believe since the time of Solomon, no one has had such access to this information. Each demon revealed itself to me in various ways, and they were always relative to UFO activity, aliens, and so on. But what was most interesting about this was a particular tone of each demon. As I faced the 72 aspects of fear, each demon gave me one aspect of the name of Lucifer, and when I had all 72, I literally had a choir in my head that I hear to this day, and it is the most beautiful song you could ever know. And this is the resonance of the father of the human race, the being that genetically manipulated us in the Garden of Eden to become what we are today. We build monuments. Animals don't. Humpback whale does not do this, yet it's smarter than we are. We have the power to destroy nature. The humpback does not. So there are good and bad aspects to choice. And it's a matter of choice that we evolve. And this was a good thing overall. By the way, Lucifer is not a sort of nefarious devil-like creature. This is actually what the Hopi might refer to as the Masar or the creator god that allowed human beings to evolve from primates. In fact, this answers the problem of the missing link and so on. So the question of, well, intelligent design is answered by this as well. Within our mythology, our mother is the earth. We were born the primordial soup and so on.
Well,
as prokaryotic cells, and our father is, of course, Lucifer.
How did Lucifer get tagged with this evil-type title, Aaron?
Well, the best way to describe it is there is a war in heaven, so to speak, between the angelic realms and the other realms. The angelic realms are very much afraid of the human race. We've been taught to believe there are four archangels and there are four great religions. These religions, of course, no longer teach the message of the Buddha or the Christ, of Muhammad and so on, of Krishna and so on. They don't teach this. The message has been perverted by angelic intervention. So essentially what you're doing when you're worshiping Christ, you're worshiping an angel. Typically uses sexual repression and uses this sort of orgone disruption, this disruption of sexual, psychosexual energy, and uses it for its own gain and to the end that we are self-destructive. In other words, if you believe in Armageddon, you will create it. That's why it was assigned to us to study this. And as was designed by the angel that, of course, picked up Paul of Tarsus on his road there to Damascus. He was assigned to create a church.
That's
that
right.
was an angel that Paul, who was a classic Paul, abduction case.
Paul, who was once Saul, I guess.
Yeah, this is before you know, the transition. As you know, he was a tax collector and so on, in a sort of mean person, somebody that nobody liked, and he's depicted later on as being somewhat of a saintly person who. Designed what we see today as the Roman Catholic Church.
Well, I think he persecuted the Christians at the time, and then all of a sudden the light blinded him, and he was told to go to Damascus for further instructions, and apparently saw the light, in so to speak. And
classic abduction case with Paul, and or AKA Saul.
Interesting possibilities there. And not to dwell on the Luciferian aspect of your life, because I want to get into your predictions with the short amount of time, Aaron, that we have left here. But when you were raised, I mean, did your family raise you this way, or were they Christian? What was their practice?
Well, they were born-again Christians, hardcore Christians. In fact, as Christ had said, it's best to know thine enemy. I know the Bible very, very well, and I had never accepted this. I had always been a Luciferian all my life. I'd always had my third eye open. I could see the spirit world. I'm a synesthete, and I'm an ultra-sensitive synesthete. So all of my senses are combined. And so this makes for a very efficient information-gathering tool that my mind is. And so with this combined with a spiritual eye and a spiritual ear, of course, the world to me was much different than, as you can imagine, my peers would see it or hear it. And so I never accepted the idea of this this angelic thing that knew that I could see it.
Did the family cringe when they found out about this?
And angels don't like to be seen. They don't want you to see them. They want to hide. When you open your heart, your anahata, to receive the angel as your personal savior, essentially you should be asking questions, what is this that is entering my body? And I notice a lot of people are talking about President Bush and his strange behavior recently. We've been working on, of course, this is another aspect of the demons. We've been working on releasing the demons into the human population. Right now, one-third of the human race is possessed, and the complete possession involves 7 demons per vessel. So what we're looking at here is these demons, one by one, are beginning to learn the nervous system of their host. And President Bush is one of the people, of course, which we see as possessed, and he's receiving his 7th demon at this very time. As of the end of January, we have expected for a long time that the complete possession would occur, and that he would no longer have the same light.
So you're basically all right. So you're basically saying he's about ready to not be who he used to be.
Well, he'll always be. His personality, his psychic, and everything will remain somewhat the same. It's difficult for the spiritually blind, or the profane, as we call them, to see the difference. But you'll see behavior changes. You'll see a difference in the way one postures, for example. Their decisions will be different. It doesn't mean that he's being controlled. It means he's joined the club. We're all part of a grand scheme.
He's
this
been
is
possessed.
A high honor for him. This is a very good thing to be possessed with these 7 demons.
He's been possessed of demons and he's joined the club? I mean, is he aware of this?
Absolutely not. Now he might be. I mean, I know one thing that a number of people have looked at my website when I remote viewed the progression of his possession. One of the angels had, in fact, possessed the body. The angels had vacated the body of President Bush, and now the vessel is being filled with the 7th demon. And we're having a little bit of trouble with this. It's interesting to note that way back in at the Monroe Institute, I had someone who had recently had dinner with President Clinton, And he told me that when he had left his body to view the president, he found something that looked somewhat like a swamp thing, you know, an old rubber mask from a 50s-style, you know, B-movie. And that this was typically something that's used by entities to scare off the status quo, trying to see what these high officials are doing or thinking. And so I know what that entity is, and that's a specific demon that was actually active involving President Clinton. President Bush has that specific demon. If you go to my website at ummo.cc, you'll see the very demon that was in President Clinton, which is now inhabiting President Bush. Things are going to change for him.
So he left Clinton.
I've remote viewed his future. He is not going to die in office. President Bush is actually going to be safe. He's going to make it through his presidency. And, of course, you're going to see a huge political, social shift this year. You're going to see a paradigm shift the world over. This is the year you're going to see Christianity begin to wane. And we've been planning on this for a long, long time.
Well, I bet you're delighted with this, aren't you?
Well, I'm delighted with a future that's different from where we are going now.
So this is one of your 2006 predictions?
Absolutely. You're going to see a worldwide social change leaning towards an alternative view of spirituality, one that is not akin with the four great religions. The four great religions are hereby dying and will never return. These are only spiritual rungs on the ladder. We were supposed to climb up a long, long time ago, but we did not. Our bicameral brains have long broken down, and we should have evolved to understand that our divinity only lies within. And from there, can you really find truth on your own terms, not on the terms of someone else outside of you?
Well, let me ask you again. Do you consider yourself, with what you practice, evil or good?
Well, I consider myself to be above that, because the dichotomy is something that's necessary of our evolution. And the master, if you master this, you rise above it. It's, think of Gandhi sleeping with a virgin. He wakes up every day, and the virgins remain intact. In other words, we can rise. He rose above his biology. We as a human race are supposed to rise above and climb onto the next rung spiritually. We're not supposed to stay in one place. There is no absolute truth. The fact that we're still clinging on to an ancient religion, you have to remember, the Christians took a perfectly good mythology of the triad, the Egyptians with Horus and so on. Mithras was born on December 25. He was born of the virgin birth. Ishtar was the original virgin as she was depicted. And so we see that today as the Virgin Mary. They took a perfectly good mythology and they made it literal. When you make these things literal, then you're in trouble. That marks the end of an era for your religion. There's no way that we can resurrect this, because today there's too much spiritual truth. And what we did in order to ensure this is we've been working diligently, changing paradigms, changing the collective source of information. Carl Jung's collective unconscious has been manipulated to such a degree that you're going to see social change. An example was when we started messing, my magicians, I have at least 113 magicians working with me now. We are all working together as a unit. What we've done this year as an experiment is we messed with the archangels, the four archangels, and how they interrelate. As a result, you have the war on Christmas. And one of the things that we, to validate this, you see all the hanging Santas and things like that in the news. That was my work. We called for people protest the mindless consumerism, and they did it. And, of course, that, a lot of people listening to this now will remember that in your news. And, of course, that's my work. And you're also seeing people trying to take Christ out of Christmas. We did that. That's the result of our work, and that's just the beginning of the end of Christianity for this year.
Are you proud of this, Aaron?
I'm happy that we're changing, and I'm always proud. I am a Luciferian. I'm happy that we're climbing the rung, and for those who don't want to climb, they will be left behind. They don't have a future spiritually. It's not right for me to force a Christian or anyone else to climb the ladder. They've got to do the work themselves. And that's just one of the many changes you're going to see. There's also a worldwide socialist movement amongst young people. You're going to begin to see in the news, in American politics, in 2006 and beyond. This is something no one's talking about. This coincides with a new type of mythology, a new type of spirituality. This coincides with the Luciferian movement the world over. There is a grand socialist movement throughout Europe, throughout South America, throughout the Asias. If you look at Asia now, they don't really want more communism, but they don't want capitalism. What they want is moderation.
And Aaron, you sound like you could be the Antichrist, for crying out loud.
I am Antichrist. I'm not the Antichrist. Our group, we consider ourselves proudly as Antichrist. This is a good thing. Nietzsche called himself Antichrist. And if you understand what that really means, it means, of course, that we are part of the new man, the homo novus, the new man, the man that is the result of the one world order that we're pushing for. We want a one world government. We require a one human race with diversity that we celebrate from a one source. That way we can efficiently allocate resources as they are dwindling on our dying planet. We can allocate resources. We can't afford capitalism on this planet. Capitalism, you're going to see the beginning of the end of capitalism right here in 2000.
I'm going to have you knock off some quick predictions because we've only got 3 minutes left. What do you see real fast for 2006?
Okay, Arnold Schwarzenegger, when I look at 2007, he's not going to be the next governor of California. Concerning Mabus, H5N1, it will mutate eventually. However, it's a slow burn. You're going to see a little bit of this happening in the end of 2006, and it'll begin to start affecting poultry in the United States in 2006. And in 2007, of course, is when it starts killing more and more humans. It is now killing humans, and it will mutate eventually. I see it killing less than 10% of the total population. That's not really very much, but it is definitely a pandemic. And it's coming. Get ready for it.
You see wars?
Of course, I see wars. I see a possibility of a world war, but not 2006. Now, you want to look at some data that I looked at that concerns possible terrorist attack. This is very, very important because this is validated by at least 13 different other viewers and other people practicing TAN as I teach it. I don't practice remote viewing anymore because it's dead. Remote viewing is dead. There's a more accurate thing that you can do now. You can get more accurate information. I want to put an end to what terrorists are thinking right now. The terrorists did not hit us this year because they were expecting Katrina as a sign of Allah for them. To take out our financial institutions through higher gas prices and so on.
That is true. They believe that's what happened to
us. Yes, and that so they are going to hit us because we're coming back financially. And the way they're going to do it, right now they're targeting a LNG tanker. This is a liquefied natural gas system that is almost impossible to protect. You take an airplane, you slam into this thing, and you have to remember that these LNG tankers the average, you might have 135,000 cubic meters of gas.
When and where?
Equivalent to 7/10 of a megaton of TNT, or is actually equivalent to about 55 Hiroshima bombs.
When and where?
Well, this is not for public. This is actually going somewhere, and we're going to put an end to this. But I want the public to be aware. This is what I'm allowed to talk about. I want to be aware that this is a viable target. This is something that a group of terrorists right now are thinking about, and this pisses me off. This is going to cause some major damage to our environment. I don't like that. And so we're going to put an end to this, be aware of it, and understand its risks. And when you study this, you should be very much afraid. This
How about
is
a
what
date?
The terrorists are going to hit this year, this big story in 2006. Only we want to stop it. I hope that I'm wrong. I want to be wrong on this one. If I want you to know that we need to pay attention to these LNG tankers because they're moving targets, they're moving bombs, and when they go up your city, if you're near it, like in the Boston area, I'm not saying that's where it is, but for example, we have tankers, going near that harbor, near the Boston Harbor, and I'm going to tell you what, if that hits there, a lot of people are going to die, the environment's going to suffer, we don't want this to happen, and there's a group of terrorists right now, and we're watching you. And we're going to get you. We're going to stop you from doing this.
All right. That's Aaron Donahue, the Luciferian. He's been on the program before. And that has been a group of people, of eight people who have come on with their views, predictions, or intuitive insight into things that will occur in 2006. You heard them. For Dave Caprita, Karis Coburn, Steve Carr, Dan Galanti, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. Until then, be safe, everyone.